Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If Christianity in the United States has a cliche, it's John 3:16, and we find it in today's gospel passage. This verse has been memorized by more children, plastered on cardboard and held aloft to distract more hapless basketball players at the free throw line, and used as a favorite subject for graffiti artists more than any other verse in the Bible. This verse, taken out of context, is a major proof text for decisional or free will theology. That is, the belief that one can and must choose salvation. Or, said another way, the belief that salvation is in an act of the human will. That belief right there is the original sin of trusting in our ability instead of trusting God's word. And such a belief is the exact opposite of Jesus' words in this passage. So, let's review the passage in its entirety to actually hear the gospel. The story begins with a leader of the Pharisees named Nicodemus slinking around in the darkness, seeking an audience with a guy making waves among the Jews. His tongue is dripping with flattery. Nicodemus unwittingly says the right things when he says Jesus has indeed come from God. And then he completely undoes what he said, thereby revealing the true content of his heart. No one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God, Nicodemus said. And that word right there, sign, is Nicodemus's confession. He didn't believe that Jesus was God, but only that Jesus pointed to God. For Nicodemus, Jesus functioned like a road sign. Jesus wasn't the thing, he only pointed to the thing. And here's where the conversation took a sinister turn for Nicodemus. Jesus was not at all being nice in this passage, unlike the depiction of this scene in that television series, The Chosen. You see, steeped in the trust that he could make himself right with God, Nicodemus came looking for something to do. He sought from Jesus a method, a plan, a spirituality to follow that would enable him to obtain heaven. And what he got from Jesus instead was perhaps the most absurd answer ever given. You must be born from above. Born again, Jesus told him. Now, the biggest hurdle one encounters in Jesus' answer to Nicodemus is mom. Pretty sure Jesus' demand is a non-starter for her, to say nothing of the biological, social, and moral violations. Activation of our gag reflex aside, we know Jesus wasn't speaking literally because he dismisses Nicodemus' objection straight away, telling him he's not talking about biology. No, it's much worse than that. It's as if Jesus says, you think the impossibility of being born a second time is bad. You just wait until you hear this. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that entering the kingdom of heaven, that is being made right with God, is completely, totally the work of the Holy Spirit alone. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit creates trust or faith when and where he pleases. And the Spirit is like the wind that blows wherever it chooses. And finally, with that, the enormity of what Jesus was preaching began to dawn on Nicodemus. He came to Jesus looking for signs, a path, a plan, something to study, something he could do to ensure God treated him right and the kingdom of heaven was in the bag, only to be told there is nothing he could do. Those who enter the kingdom of heaven do so as a result of the Holy Spirit's choice of them, never the other way around. How can these things be? An astonished Nicodemus protested. His whole life was undone. But it got even worse. Not only is there nothing he can do for salvation, Nicodemus is locked in his unbelief about his inability to believe. "You do not receive our testimony," Jesus accusingly says. Based on what Jesus just said about the Holy Spirit's choosing, there's nothing Nicodemus can do about his unbelief, which, by the way, isn't a choice either. A person can't believe what they don't believe. And then, in his most offensive move yet, Jesus starts talking about the gospel, but he never gives Nicodemus the gospel. He reminds Nicodemus of the bronze snake that Moses held up to save the rebellious Israelites from the serpents that God sent to punish them. Jesus says that event is a description of what will happen to him on a cross. It's a sign, but signs don't save. Then Jesus gives our famous misinterpreted verse that is almost always ripped out of context, John 3:16. Did you catch the contingency in the verse? May not perish, but may have eternal life, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit may choose to work faith in a person, but faith will never result from a person's decision. And that right there is why the world is condemned already. Like Nicodemus, we rebelliously believe our salvation is our choice. In reality, our salvation is God's choice. Nicodemus's encounter with Jesus was a worst-case scenario for him. He heard about the gospel, but he never got a preacher. The gospel was never given to him specifically, that is, with his name on it. And believe me, a generic love of God applied in general does nothing to conquer your sin, your death, and the devil against you. Nicodemus got a "God is love" bumper sticker from Jesus, but it didn't do him a bit of good. Instead, it only made things worse. Summing it all up, this passage is actually the destruction of free will. Well, I have good news for you this morning. Nicodemus's fate is not yours, because Jesus Christ has sent me to you this morning with a very specific word that is for you. There in the font, God chose you, called you by name, and forgave your sin forever. And though we hear much drivel about pronouns these days, here at the altar rail, they actually matter, as you are addressed personally in the second person, as the body and blood of Christ is given for your forgiveness. And from this pulpit, by the authority of Jesus Christ, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. The fact that you are hearing this promise of God's steadfast love with your name attached can only mean that the Holy Spirit has chosen you, because God does not lie. When he gives you a promise, then nothing can change that promise. So rejoice. The kingdom of God is yours. Amen.